RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Wednesday Val and
Bynes.
I was adjusting the oscillating fan, so I was on the other side of the room.
Oh. See, this is a great microphone I chose for you.
I thought I had more time, but you just started talking, so.
Sorry.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show. Just as a disclaimer before we begin, there is right now going on outside, which they kind of moved downwards a little bit, but there are a crew of about 16 men in the 100-degree heat out here paving my street. It is very loud, and my house is, I was out in my garage where I sit and do my prep and stuff just to be outside, and they came up my driveway, all of them did, and asked if they could sit in the shade in front of my garage. And so, of course, I obliged, because why would I make these poor men stand outside in this sweltering heat without giving them the luxury of my shade?
Gotcha.
So,
well, that's very kind of you.
I'm just the kindest person in the entire world. So they're going to get back to work, and you're probably going to hear it in the background, but there's nothing I can do about it.
Okay.
So there's that. And a bunch of things are happening. Number one, breaking news for us right now at 10:08 in the morning. It's the beginning of this, Frank, but Doug Mastriano has just issued a letter. There will be full forensic audits in Pennsylvania of the 2020 general election and 2021 primary.
When we say full forensic audits, are we talking legit Arizona style, or are we talking what Jovan Pulitzer was saying is just words?
It would be legit Arizona style.
Oh, Pennsylvania is going to be a bloodbath then.
Yeah, so now we see here the counties they've chosen are some Democrat counties and some Republican counties, and I'll just go through which ones they are as of right now. Just hold on one second. I had that. It's in a different...
It just doesn't matter because the margin of victory out there is so slim.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah. Yeah. It's York... So,
wow.
Cuyahoga, York, and Philadelphia. The audit will be similar to the Maricopa County audit. Other counties could also be audited. But he has put out a news release... literally people's heads are exploding everywhere. So fantastic. A forensic investigation of our election results and processes for the 2020 general election and the 2021 primary will go a long way to restore trust in our system. Voting is the fundamental right of all citizens. We should continually look for ways to improve the voting process to ensure every voice is heard. Today, as chair of the Intergovernmental Operations Committee, I issued letters to several counties requesting information and materials needed to conduct a forensic investigation of the 2020 general election and the 2021 primary. That's the one that got all screwed up a few weeks ago or months ago. Remember when they accidentally had Democrat ballots for Republicans and Republican ballots for Democrats? The whole thing was a big mess. He says, we have asked these counties to respond by July 31st with the plan to comply. The counties represent different geographical regions of Pennsylvania and differing political makeups. Some are Republican while others are Democrat, which means that this will be a balanced investigation. The Intergovernmental Operations Committee is a standing committee of the Pennsylvania State Senate with oversight and investigatory responsibilities regarding activities related to or conducted between two or more governments or levels of government, including the administration of elections across the Commonwealth. As set forth in Pennsylvania Senate Rule 14D, each standing committee is empowered with the authority to inspect and investigate the books, records, papers, documents, data operation, and physical plant of any public agency in this Commonwealth, including county boards of election. This is necessary, as millions of Pennsylvanians have serious doubts about the accuracy of the 2020 general election. A January poll of Muhlenberg University showed that 40% of Pennsylvania voters are not confident that the results of the 2020 election accurately reflected how Pennsylvanians voted. Discounting or mocking their concerns is neither an answer nor proper in this constitutional republic. It gets better. Hold on. I hope you don't mind I'm reading this whole thing.
No, please.
Okay. During debate on election reform a couple weeks ago, some of my colleagues regrettably dismissed these poll numbers as an inconvenient truth and went on to assert that the only reason there is distrust in our election process was because of the, quote, conspiracy theories and lies from those they disagree with politically. This sort of ad hominem attack does nothing to address the concerns of millions of voters. I would have added here, Frank, and if nothing's broken, everyone should be fine.
Yeah. Everybody should feel validated, and it should be like a second opportunity to celebrate defeating the evil dictator Donald Trump.
Yeah, yeah. He goes on to say, the case for a forensic investigation of the 2020 general election is evident to any unbiased observer. This was the first election in Pennsylvania with mass mail-in voting. In 2020, there were 2.7 million ballots cast by mail and absentee, compared to about 263,000 absentee ballots cast in 2016. Many of these ballots were counted at off-site locations with little outside observation or oversight. Furthermore, mail ballots without signature verification were permitted to be counted across the Commonwealth. And of course, all of this transpired in the midst of COVID-19, where uncertainty and fear impacted the conduct of the election. Additionally, in the weeks leading up to the election, the Department of State repeatedly altered the manner in which Pennsylvania's election was conducted. Those who voted in person were held to a higher standard than those who mailed in their ballots. Signatures required for mail-in ballots were rendered meaningless, as the Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruled that ballots could not be rejected based on an analysis of the voter signature. On September 17th, the Pennsylvania Supreme Court ruled that counties had to count ballots received up to 3 days after Election Day. A week before the election, the Department of State told the U.S. Supreme Court that the ballots received after 8 p.m. on November 3rd would be segregated. But the department changed the rules 2 days before the election and directed counties to canvass those ballots upon receipt. The United States Supreme Court had to step in and order the counties to segregate the ballots. Just hours before the polls opened on November 3rd, the department changed the rules again by providing late guidance on how to help voters whose mail-in or absentee ballots were incorrectly completed. The guidance, in quotes, resulted in an inconsistent application across the Commonwealth. Some counties contacted voters as directed, while others did not. There was no basis for that guidance in current or case law. It would defy logic to assume that an election with the kinds of drastic changes we saw in 2020 was run perfectly with zero errors or fraud. Governor Wolf and the Secretary of State refused to conduct any type of thorough investigation, despite the concerns of millions of our citizens in the aftermath of the election and hundreds of affidavits alleging firsthand fraud, irregularities, and illegal behavior witnessed at polling places. The closest thing to an investigation we got was a small so-called, quote, risk-limiting audit, and this is how you know, Frank, that it's going to be the big one, which consisted of a sample of only 45,000 randomly selected ballots from the November election. Not nearly the type of investigation that was needed to determine any fraud, misconduct, or technical anomaly. This audit was conducted by the Department of State and did not include public input or outside observers. Election process problems were not limited to 2020. During the May primary, multiple poll locations ran out of their supply of ballots, and this occurred even though counties are required to print at least 10% more ballots than the highest number of votes cast in any of the previous three municipal primary elections. In some precincts, voting machines improperly labeled the headers of Republican ballots as Democrat, while the GOP races still appeared. In one county, a, quote, printing issue, I love the quotes, caused both Democratic and Republican ballots to be rejected. These errors occurred in lower turnout elections where mistakes should be least likely to occur. A full forensic investigation is critically necessary for our Commonwealth for the sake of transparency and accountability. There is nothing to fear if there is nothing to hide. Those who have concerns about the integrity of the 2020 and 2021 election will have those concerns investigated and hopefully addressed. Those who think there was zero voter fraud, no irregularities, and that the elections were conducted perfectly will have the chance to be vindicated. There is it. There it is. I mean, there is it. I have like dyslexia today. The investigation is not about overturning the results of either election. The goals are to restore faith in the integrity of our system, confirm the effectiveness of existing legislation on the governance of elections, and identify areas for legislative reform. In light of the governor's recent veto of a comprehensive election reform bill and the refusal of his administration to seriously address the concerns of millions of our citizens, it is incumbent for the legislature to exercise its oversight responsibility. The damage to our election process will not be undone with the passing of time. I believe the only way to restore confidence in our Commonwealth's election process is to undertake a forensic investigation. By doing this, faith in our election system will be restored. The people of our Commonwealth should have confidence that their vote counts. It takes accountability and transparency to ensure that our elections are free and fair.
So this is, there you go. So between Pennsylvania and Arizona and Georgia alone.
Mm-hmm. But I have it on good authority, Frank.
Yeah.
That there are audits upcoming in states that were, quote, won by Donald Trump.
Great.
Yep.
That's even better.
Yep. Agreed.
That's even better. That's even better. I'd love to see which what margins are even larger now.
I just have to say, I want to say this because it's so important. The representatives in these states who are doing this, Mastriano and several, you know, others in Pennsylvania now, they have to be commended. It shouldn't be something that we have to commend, right? Because this is what should be done. It's the right thing to do. But given the overwhelming, ridiculous amount of harassment, pressure, threats, all the other stuff that these guys have to deal with to get the support to go ahead and do this, God bless them all. God bless them all. I just had to say, I just, it's going to be these brave people who do this in the beginning. When, you know, in the beginning of a change, the Patriot is scorned and, you know what I mean?
Yep.
That's what we're looking at right now. Later, the timid join them because it costs nothing to be a Patriot. There, hold on, you hear this?
Yep.
Here it comes.
I hear it. I hear the humming storm arriving.
Yes, I don't know if this is somebody doing my lawn or if that's the street. I can't tell. No, it's the street. It's a blower on the street.
So anyway, when did this, you said that this is just being released right now? Because, of course, I don't see it popping up anywhere on Twitter.
Legitimately, literally right now, like within the past 10 minutes.
Let me go to my special news list that I have curated. Nothing there. Nothing there.
Hit Telegram first. It is on Twitter. I'm looking at it on Twitter right now.
Trump is going to make a significant announcement regarding the First Amendment today. I heard that he's going to announce a class action lawsuit against Twitter.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's his announcement for today. And by the way, I just want to say happy birthday to Finch.
Oh, happy birthday, Harold.
Yeah, it's Harold's birthday today. Harold Finch from the Telegram Library. It's his
birthday. Library.
So, look, I had some things lined up for the show today, and I don't know what the, like, rules are about doing something like this, but Steve Bannon had... What's his name? What's his name? I don't even know his name. The guy who runs Lead Stories.
I don't know.
Hold on. Alan Duke.
Okay.
He's the fact checker that was brought on by Facebook to, like, fact check stories. He actually had him on the show on War Room.
And he came on.
He came on.
That's more surprising.
Yeah. I was blown away by it. He went on the show, and he did probably, I would say, about 20 to 25 minutes with them. And he really was summarily destroyed by Raheem Kassam and Jack Posobiec and I think her name is Hill, Natalie Hill, from National, whatever Raheem's outlet is, Pulse or National File or whatever. I don't know which one he runs. But it's glorious. And I just wanted to go through it as a victim of said fact-checking at Uncover DC, most recently on the article by Michelle Edwards that I hope everybody has already read about BlackRock and COVID, etc. Because Michelle, when she wrote that article, was very careful to only include links to themselves. There is no opinion of what they said. It is literally links to their own materials. So to fact-check it is to fact-check them. It's ridiculous. So he goes on. I've got the show. I was listening to it before we started here. And I have it at 1.5 speed. Because do you do this, Frank?
What? No, do I go through the shows with 1.5 speed?
I go through shows now on 2.
Well, I haven't tried 2, but I've definitely tried 1.25 to 1.5 on audiobooks.
Yeah, so this is on Audible. I didn't know that Bannon's podcast was on Audible.
I didn't know that either. I've only ever really caught it whenever it was live on YouTube, or I think he's on Rumble now. By the way, I streamed live on Rumble last night for the first time, and it was very stable.
Was it really? I was curious about that. Yeah, I
mean, the basic package for streaming is $100 a month, and then they can upsell you up to $1,000 a month. So there's that there, but
pay for it?
Yeah, you have to pay for the bandwidth that you use, I guess. So I just signed up for the $100 a month to see how it is, because, of course, anything to expand the show, I'll do it. And last night was the first time I did it, and it was very stable. People liked the chat, and it was nice. Good quality audio and video, because over the weekend, I bring this up because I think War Room is live on Rumble too now, right?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, either way, I mean, you got to find good alternatives from YouTube. And I know that Right Side Broadcasting Network, they really set some records on Rumble with these Trump rallies recently. I think over 500,000 viewers or something like that. So it was it put Rumble live viewing on the map. I said, you know what, might as well jump on in. And it's pretty good result.
I got an email yesterday from Jeff at Cloud Hub about the upgrades they did to their live video. And
yeah, I have the Cloud Hub is actually the centerpiece of my website right now, and I have to update it now, because apparently there's a really great chat room he added, and hopefully that became more stable too.
They added a chat room, but not only that, like, you could literally, it's almost like an alternative to Zoom. It is the most interactive chat experience with an audience I've seen anywhere. You could pull people up from there into your stream. There's like all kinds of stuff you can do now.
Wow.
I got an email last night. I got to play around with it because, you know, it's always amazing to have another place. I'm on Rumble too. Uncover DC is on Rumble. And I pay for Rumble every month as well. So I don't really stream live anymore, but maybe one day. So he had him on. So anyway, I'm listening to this on Audible at 2, because this is how I listen to everything now. But I'm gonna play some of this because it's
great.
And you know, there's a clip that Citizens Free Press, which I love, by the way. If you go to citizensfreepress.com, citizensfreepress.com, they're freaking fantastic over there. Let's listen to their clip first, and then. This guy is just one of those smarmy... Here.
Alan, where do you get off telling me what I can put in my headlines?
Well, I don't. You can put anything in your headline that you want. However, if you want to share it on the Facebook platform, my company has been contracted by Facebook in order to make an assessment through which they could put a label on it. Was your content taken off of Facebook? Isn't it still there and available for anybody to read?
It has one of your Orwellian walls in front of
you. Well, I don't know George Orwell. I don't think he's created that. I don't think that's
he
exactly
knows you.
Oh, how obtuse!
You just have to click it.
How obtuse is right, and it just gets. Wow. It's gonna
I
get.
I don't know George Orwell. Oh, you. Weird son of a ugh.
By the way, the feedback on Monday's show has been overwhelming.
What did we do?
We did the not safe for work talk about the penises.
Oh yes, the peni conversation.
Yes, everybody loved it. Everybody. There has not been one negative comment about that show. Everyone loved it.
Well, here comes one.
Yeah, right. I know.
You can't say that out loud, Tracy.
I know. What's wrong with me? I'm honest. My gosh. Just strike me down here.
And it removes that label and you can see it, right?
Why should an American citizen have to bypass a filter from you to read a news story on a news website?
Because he cares.
Because they need, we're adding additional.
Because they need. Did you hear them?
They need help. They need people like us to care for them. They are not, they're children. Don't you understand? They need us.
He started they need help for.
Where the hell is it? It's V for Vendetta.
Oh, you have a clip? You have a clip?
Hold on. Let's see here. Here we go. Wait.
Now is a clear message to the people of this country. This message must be read in every newspaper, heard on every radio, seen on every television. This message must resound throughout the entire interlink. I want this country to realize that we stand on the edge of oblivion. I want every man, woman, and child to understand how close we are to chaos. I want everyone to remember why they need us.
These people are just cartoon characters, and maybe they know where their character archetype came from and who wrote them into existence, and maybe they don't know. Maybe they actually think that they're actual real people, but they're not. They're not real. They're just, we've seen them so many times before.
We've seen characters. Well, let's listen to the rest of what he says. It just keeps getting worse.
We're not censoring. Censoring is when you take something down. That's not what's happening here. Your story.
Alan, you've delivered several flags onto the National Post's page and then had a 30-day suspension on that page. Is that censorship or not?
It's not censorship. I talked with Dr. Barrick. I now have his cell phone. I can call him and we can ask him anything we want to. But we did not censor that.
Jack Pizarro, you want to jump in here for a few minutes, talk to Alan?
I do. I actually, I just want to play a quick quote from the presidential debate, if I can here. I got it queued up. Just one sec.
This actually made me uncomfortable. It gets so weird.
Wow. Okay.
Do you ever are you ever in a situation where you're around people, you're not involved in it, but they're going back and forth and you get physically uncomfortable just being there?
Oh yeah. All the time. That's life.
Yeah. So tell me in a second if that's your reaction after this here.
Okay.
Happen. My son has not made money in terms of this thing about what are you talking about? China. I have not had it. The only guy made money from China is this guy. He's the only one. Nobody else has made money from China.
All right, that's all. I don't want to get into that too much. But I did want to go back to an article on Lead Stories from December 14th, where they claimed that Posobiec fabricated a quote that Biden said, my son has not made money in China. So, Alan, I've played for you the quote. Why did your website claim that I fabricated the quote that Joe Biden just said? I played it for you.
Joe Biden did not say my son has not made money in China. Okay.
He just said it. I just played it for you. Do you need to hear it again?
No, I'm looking.
He's literally just not giving him any defense whatsoever. But he was completely blindsided by this, and he's trying to look it up on the fly. So he's repeating what Jack had said while he's trying to look back at his computer screen or notes or whatever.
Oh, you see what his fact check was.
Yeah. So that short little, I'm not trying to give anyone the benefit of the doubt. Especially.
Listen, you can do that. I'll play bad cop and say that he knows exactly what he said. And by playing this, by going along with this act of, oh, let me go see exactly what I said, it's giving him time to think of an excuse.
That is possible, Frank. I'm just trying to give everybody the groundwork to make their own decisions as we often do. Here we go.
I will help with that.
In response to
you claim that I fabricated the quotes
that included China. Your son goes in and he takes out billions of dollars, and the mayor of Moscow's wife gave your son $3.5 million.
Alan, I just played you the quote.
I've got the transcript. I'm looking at the transcript.
I played you the quote.
Oh, wait.
It's his voice. Oh, wait, I have a transcript.
It's this part right here reminded me of that Senate. That senator in Georgia who had just watched them pulling the ballots from underneath the table, but then sat there and said, the Secretary of State told us that this didn't happen. after she had literally just watched the video of it. Like, the cognitive dissonance in her face and her brain. Like, anyway, okay, here we go.
I need to look at the transcript.
Have you read our story?
Are you claiming that I made up this video?
Have you read our story?
Yes.
Did you appeal? We flagged you on this, right? Are you still?
You did flag me on this. You claimed that I fabricated the quote. I just played you the quote. So explain to me why you claim that I fabricated it.
The section of the quote.
The section that I just played.
Jeez, Louise.
Oh, it gets better.
My son did nothing wrong. Yes, he did.
Alan, I just played the quote for you, my friend.
Play it again. What's going on? I want to hear it.
Hold on. Hang on.
Play it again. Tracy, I may have to play this and all of these clips on my show again tonight.
Oh, this is great. You could play go through the whole episode under fair. Like, I'm doing it under the whole interview. I have another whole section of this where he talks about how, you know, it's so good. I mean, I can't believe that he agreed to come on. I can't believe it. I got to give him credit for at least that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can give him credit, but you can give him credit as much as you can credit a bird that flies into a windshield and dies.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty much what it is. Oh, no, I'm a great flyer. Come with me. Don't worry, I've flown on the highway thousands of times. This will be fine. Smashes right into a tractor trailer.
Here, let's finish listening to this part. This is only 6 minutes of it, but I really feel like it's beneficial for everybody out there. Like, I feel like, why not spend time on our show talking about this here?
You know, not this, particularly this good one.
Jack, if you want to, send us an appeal. Go look at it. Our appeals desk.
Why should I have to appeal something?
Stuff your appeal.
Right.
Hang on. Let's go to commercial break. Alan, just hang on.
I'm looking at the transcript of this debate. This was the debate in September of last year. There is place. There are 7 references to my son by Biden. None of them have that quote in there.
Here we go.
Ready?
Ever happened. My son has not made money in terms of this thing about what are you talking about? China.
Okay, let's just say this. Hey, listen, Alan, is there a chance that your freaking transcript has been propagandized to remove that? Is there a chance that your little pea brain could stop for a second and say, oh my God, maybe these people are actually right and we are absolute losers?
You remember after the Pulse nightclub shooting, we saw that they had this FBI had scrubbed the transcript of the 911 call to remove multiple references to Islam and ISIS and all that stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. You remember that? Because they wanted to be able to control the situation a little bit more, not make the mass murder incendiary.
Yeah, they didn't want to be able to. They wanted to frame it however they wanted to frame it. And so they changed and edited the transcript of what happened. You know what's funny? You know what's really funny about this, too? Just sitting here thinking through it. Frank, you remember a time when a transcript of a call or a thing was no good? When was that?
No.
Wasn't that the impeachment?
Oh, yeah. It was the impeachment. I guess Adam Schiff's version of the transcript was fine.
Oh, right.
Because remember, once we got the transcript and it didn't say what they needed it to say, that's when Adam Schiff started his James Cagney bit. You won't get the money, you see. Like this crazy James Cagney reimagination. That's what we got because the transcript didn't say what they needed it to say.
I mean, cigarettes, see?
Yes. You want that money? You better help us out with the election, you see?
I can't wait.
I have not had it. The only guy who made money from China is this guy. He's the only one. Nobody else has made money from China.
He should have fact-checked that. I would love to see a fact-check on that.
How has
Donald Trump made money on China? Did he once, as a private citizen, build a Trump Tower in Beijing? Is there, is that, I mean, what are the Trump ties to the Chinese government. I mean, that is very deserving of a fact check, because he clearly lies about his son and then just simply throws out the inverse to deflect. The inverse needs a fact check. It's a very, very serious allegation.
Which is literally happening as this man is getting the answers in his ear, which we know happened because he thinks he says, have a good debater. So what was it that he says before he starts that everybody was like, who is he talking to?
Yeah.
It's like, good luck. He hears it in his ear.
Yeah, good luck.
And if he doesn't have an earpiece in, he's pulling out notes at the ice cream shop.
Horrible.
Here, let's finish.
You know, so then it goes on. So
which debate is that? It's
the national debate.
Does it matter?
Which one?
It's the only one they had. I think they only had one.
So you've accused me of fabricating a quote. I'd like to know why you accused me of fabricating the quote that we can all see.
I'm looking at the transcript. Oh my God!
I would say, was the voice that you just heard? Did you recognize the voice that you just heard? Whose voice was that? Is this a deep fake?
Live on the debate.
Yeah, where are you going next with this? That this may be a deep fake because it's not in your transcript. So it's oh man, if our lives weren't on the line, this is gold. This is comedy gold.
If our lives weren't, it's so true. It really is.
Oh.
Here, let's see how this is why I mean when I say it's uncomfortable.
Maybe your transcript's wrong, dude.
September 30th, is this the debate from September 29th, I guess?
Yes. Only debate. No, hang on.
Yeah, it was the 23rd of October. The Hill posted the clip.
No, this is not the same debate. This is not. We published.
So you've got the wrong debate.
No.
So you have the wrong transcript.
Well, I mean, this was from a September debate. Maybe that's it. And that's why we have a
wrong transcript.
That you need to send us an email at appeals@leadstories.com.
Listen to this, right? Whatever happened to the burden of proof is on the accuser. Why do I have to send you an email?
Is this a court of law?
When you're wrong, you've got the wrong transcript. You've got the wrong debate.
I don't know the right clip. I'm just saying.
You're completely wrong. I've already played the quote twice, Alan. I'm not playing it a third time. Why is the burden of proof, and not just for me, but for all the people out there that are posting things, that are making reports, that are doing stuff? Why is the burden of proof on us? Shouldn't the burden of proof be on you?
Jack, the post that we fact checked says, in the first debate, Biden said, in the first debate, it's not in the transcript. I challenge you to show me where it is.
What is wrong with this guy?
We're dealing with people who are just nuts. Nuts. They're absolutely nuts. Jeez.
There was a Zuby thread where he talked about the things he's learned about people and our society after COVID. And one of the things that he said was people would rather, they'd rather be wrong and righteous than admit that they were wrong. Like yeah. this man will hammer to the death how he was not wrong, even though he's clearly wrong, clearly.
Well, Tracy, the real question here is what was going through his mind when he thought he should accept this invitation for Steve Bannon's show? Because what we're watching right now is the reason why you will never see Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez go on to a show like mine or anybody's, whether it's a small little podcast or a televised radio show or radio syndicate. This is why they stay far away from any kind of conversation that could be uncontrolled. They when they can't control a situation, they know that this is what waits for them. But this guy just ran right into the fan. I don't know why he did it.
I don't either. He starts off by saying in the beginning of his interview, and there's more here. He starts off by saying in the beginning of his interview that he was disillusioned with how CNN changed. You know, it was not the Ted Turner CNN anymore that he was used to and blah, 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 blah. And so he, his righteous self, his righteous journalist, he was set off to create his own, you know, unbiased media. And they've fact checked CNN before, and they quickly retract and amend their stories when they're fact checked. And I'm like, what universe do you think we live in, you stupid? See, the thing about mainstream media, which is not mainstream anymore, by the way, they have 20% trust of the American people, less than Congress, less than that's saying something, journalists. Yeah. So now, you know, now their job, and you know, it always gets me, Frank. They wanted us all off Twitter, right? They wanted us all gone. We're evil, horrible, horrible people who can't do anything but spread disinformation. So they boot us all off Twitter. They should have been happy, right?
Yeah.
You know what they did instead? They followed us to the platforms that we went to continue to harass us. So, like, I have this journalist that hangs out in our Telegram room, and she spins up stories based on, like, about nothing, and takes comments that I've made in our Telegram room and makes stories out of them just to attack me.
Hey, this is why I say, although I really, I'm a fan and a big believer of free markets, I just really pay attention to what is going on right now. And I say, okay, well, with the censorship issue in this country, it's really not about, well, if you don't like Twitter or YouTube's terms of service, you got to just find another place. They are, after all, a private company.
Yep.
But, you know, the private company thing only goes so far. A, they don't believe in private property and private companies and all that stuff in any other time unless it serves their purposes, as usual. Just like they don't ever bring up the Constitution unless they think that they can actually get something off on it. But the real thing here is, if it were just, okay, Twitter and YouTube are declared, you know, very left politically, they have but they don't. They pretend that they're unbiased. They pretend that they actually have terms of service, but it is just the most vague thing, so they can take out whoever they'd like. And we know that they take out people in very biased ways. And then once you're off the platform, they don't stop there. They hunt you down wherever you are. They go to your banks. They go to your jobs. They go to your – this is not about free speech and private companies. That's why I say, what is the solution? Because it really is just a salvo in a war. It's just – it's a war, and they're hunt. It's a hunt.
They do hunt. And the craziest thing is
And let me also just – let me just conclude again – we don't care about that stuff, because as you can see, we love being able to go in and just do our thing, and who cares about who's around us who thinks one way or another? Because when you come onto our shows, like this idiot did onto Steve Bannon's show, this is it. I mean, this is why we actually don't care. Because we don't want anything from people. We believe that we can go out and get it ourselves, and we believe in the we believe in what's backing it up. This guy can't hold his own weight. You think that fact checker that went on Bannon's show could actually maintain a career unless he was protected and given money and not have to answer for anything? They need this very special, tightly regulated incubator in order to even survive, because they can't compete.
No, they can't compete at all. Here, wait.
Jack,
I've played you the quote twice, Alan. Now you're mincing words with me.
If you want to do it,
okay. Hold it. Let's.
Apparently, the CCP isn't paying you guys enough.
Let's figure this out. Let's figure this out offline.
Keep on the subject.
Well, it has has quite a lot to do with Facebook. I know we can have our disagreements, Alan. I know we can have our disagreements, Alan. And you know, you will know that I feel a certain way about the thing you do. But let me ask you this serious question, right? This is no gotcha. I'm not trying to be funny at all. You've seen now how contentious these things can be, and you talk about your processes that you have in place to deal with this sort of thing. But still, the world, it comes back to my first question. The world will want to know. what qualifies you and your staff to be making these judgment calls when clearly you're getting it wrong? You've got, as far as I'm concerned, you've got it wrong with us almost every single time. You've got it wrong with Jack Posobiec here. Okay, so you're telling me you've never got anything wrong.
Show me something we got wrong, and we will correct it.
You're telling me you've got nothing wrong.
In this, Jack said, in the first debate, Biden said, that was not from the first debate.
Oh,
if he wants to go back and change his post, that's fine.
I've played you the clip.
Even if it was from a fifth debate, this is what I'm talking about, obtuse. There wasn't a special point to be made about this statement being uttered by Joe Biden in the first debate and only the first debate. What the hell? There's no value in the number, which debate it was. What he was saying. Because he can't actually talk about what's going on there, he has to hyper focus in a very myopic way on something he can control. Yeah, but no. You said the first debate and we'll.
It was actually the second debate, so
yeah,
we're not wrong. Here.
I'm actually talking about your co-founder, Perry Sanders, who donated $3,700 to Hillary Clinton's campaign and $4,000 to Obama's 2008 campaign.
How about $10,000 to a Republican candidate in Colorado?
That was like a nonpartisan race, Alan. That was a nonpartisan race.
Let me answer. Perry is not a Democrat. He's not a Republican. Perry is basically anti-hypocrisy. That is his thing. Yeah, and he goes by the candidate, not by the party. He's not really politically active, but he's a fairly well-to-do businessman in Colorado. And he's not on my staff. He is one of the people who had money helping us start this thing in 2015. And he's not on the staff. He's not involved in our operations as such. The other partner is a Republican in Florida, by the way. Didn't mention him. And then it's me. And you will not find any Democratic registration or contributions in my past.
We're going to put this back up on our site so people can see it. We've gone through the staff here. Okay, you've had your say on that. You disagree with our reporting. We've gone through. You can take it up with the Federal Elections Commission website because that's where we've gone through to get all that reporting. Let me just finally ask you this. This is my last question before I hand over to Jack Posobiec on this. How much do you get paid by what the U.S. State Department called a mouthpiece for the Chinese Communist Party? That would be ByteDance.
ByteDance? We put that on our website in our disclosure.
Yeah, how much do you get paid?
We have a contract with ByteDance in order to consult them on misinformation on their platform. We have a contract with them. It's on our website. You can go and look at the transparency.
You have a contract with what the U.S. State Department called a mouthpiece for the Chinese Communist Party. You're admitting that live on it.
What? I'm not familiar with the mouthpiece for the Communist Chinese
Party. We'll send it to you, Alex. I think it's very serious.
I'm connected somehow to the Chinese Communist Party.
You are directly connected to the Chinese Communist Party.
I'm from Georgia, and I'm a redneck, and I am not a communist from China.
Okay, hang on.
They're working with ByteDance. It's literally the Chinese Communist Party platform. So, fact check Joe Biden again. And I actually want to go back a little bit because...
News stories from mainstream media, from smaller sites. I mean, how do you guys triage analyze?
It's evolved. And yes, I have fact checked CNN. I can give you an exact example. If you recall, in October of 2019, when there was the whole controversy about Hillary Clinton and what she said on a podcast about the congresswoman from Hawaii, from Maui. CNN, I thought, misreported that. We flagged them, and they didn't like it. But no, and on other occasions, we flag mainstream media all the time. The thing about the mainstream media, when we flag them, they're very quick to make a correction. We don't. The other thing is that the majority, it seems now, of what gets flagged on Facebook, it's not media. It's not really journalism. It's not national polls. It's the meme. The meme is the thing now. We probably fly more memes because just almost by definition, a meme is missing some context.
Tell us a meme versus a news story. A meme versus something
different.
A Nelly Winter story.
An image that someone posts that may be funny, generally intended to be funny in a lot of cases, but actually, to use a word, it's kind of been weaponized. The meme is something that you can create in about 15 seconds and share it, and it will go viral very, very quickly. And
he's saying that they spend most of their time fact-checking memes.
Yeah.
Fact-checking memes.
Just that's a job. That's a job, man.
Yeah, it's really something. It really is. That whole interview needs to be definitely listened to for sure. I highly recommend it. I have a little COVID news here.
And okay.
We started a little late, Frank, because of technical difficulties. And we're only 44 minutes in. We've got 7 minutes left. I have to stop on time because I have to go to a meeting.
Okay.
Far, far away.
Oh, boy.
So I'm like a little bit hesitant to start another thing, but I think we should because the last show was 53 minutes and I don't want to jip people out of our shows all the time.
They're all so jipped.
You think people are jipped? I do.
Not at all. It's a great not at all. And
anecdotally. You know what? Actually, let's not do that. Let's keep it light today. I want to keep
it
light.
It's been great. I've had a great time today so far.
Yeah. You know, so we did the whole incoming Pennsylvania audit. I've got a clip from yesterday that really set us all on fire. It was actually pretty good what we heard yesterday from Jen Psaki.
And more healthcare settings and respond to hotspots. The president will outline 5 areas his team is focused on to get more Americans vaccinated. 1, targeted community by community door-to-door outreach to get remaining Americans vaccinated by ensuring they have the information they need on how both safe and accessible the vaccine is. 2, a renewed emphasis on getting the vaccines to more primary care.
They're going to go door-to-door, Frank.
That's what I heard.
Are we
I heard Joe Biden repeat it too.
Are we going to see the dancing virus and the syringe in neighborhoods near you? You ever see that? You see that costume they've got?
No.
They have like a virus, like spike protein that someone wears.
I did not see that.
And then they have someone wearing a syringe, like they're dressed up like a syringe, and they go dancing around on the streets.
Jeez.
You know, because we're all 5. We're all 5-year-olds, right?
I was going to say, like what? Like Mr. Met?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly like Mr. Met. Don't make fun of Mr. Met. He's the best mascot ever.
Yeah, I guess.
Mr. Met is great. By the way.
All you got to do is put some spikes on his head and he's a virus.
Spike protein. He is. Well, the Mets are not. Listen, don't talk bad about them.
No, they're doing very well. They embarrassed the Yankees on the first game on July 4th.
Just saying.
It was an embarrassment.
Sorry. It's about damn time. We have Ian Rice, who has two kids, testifying against CRT. He's here.
My name's Ian Rice. I've got 2 children here at the California School District. It's very apparent here by all of the parents that have spoken that this board and the school district is failing. More importantly, I came here to talk about critical race theory. This theory was never meant to be brought into grade schools, high schools, at all. It's actually taught in the collegiate atmosphere, and more importantly, the legal portion of the collegiate atmosphere, to see different laws through the lens of race, from an ethics and an ethical standpoint, right? Not for grade schools and high schoolers. The problem with bringing it to high school and grade school level is that we don't have the educators to properly teach these kids. Instead, they're using it as their own agenda to indoctrinate the kids to hate each other. And whether you believe that to be true or not, the reality is that's what's happening. Critical race theory is teaching that white people are bad. That's not true. That would teach my daughter that her mother is evil. You already have an educator within your staff that has pulled my daughter aside and said, well, you're a minority, so you know better than to engage in certain things.
Wow.
When I was brought to the school's attention, nothing happened to the educator. Instead, my daughter was brought in, and she was ridiculed. So my question is now, with critical race theory being brought in, what is your criteria to educate the educators? And who are you to educate my children, or any of our children, in life issues? That's our job.
Yes.
Your
job is an African-American parent who has a white wife. I can't get over.
I did an opening last night on the 1619 Project because it started trending again yesterday. And I actually got some response from people who don't agree with me on Twitter. It was amazing.
Really?
So I said, since I kicked a little beehive here, I'm going to open up with 1619 before I go into what I actually wanted to do last night. And, of course, it ties in with critical race theory, and I don't care what people explain it as, what it's meant to be, what it has the potential of being. It is a tool. It is a tool. It is a weapon more than anything. And that's just where we are right now. And I'm glad that more and more people, especially across lines of race, are very confidently fighting back against this.
Yeah. Yeah. And they need to. Here's Biden.
Special focus on five ways to make gains in getting those of you who are unvaccinated vaccinated.
If we're unvaccinated still, we don't want to be vaccinated, you stupid
Exactly. It's so scummy. It's so scummy.
Those of you who are unvaccinated, five ways we can trick you into sticking poison into your arm.
Because obviously, you're after you know, 8 or 9 months, it's just because you don't have the right information and you didn't have access. Even though every grocery store you walk into has a vaccination site in the back of it.
Deal. We are continuing to wind down the mass vaccination sites that did so much in the spring to rapidly vaccinate.
Behind him. Is a step and repeat that says we can do this. Well, clearly you're not having that much success. And I guarantee you that none of the people, if they come up to my door, Frank, I'm telling you now, if they come up to my door asking me to get this shot, it is probably going to be the biggest mistake they make. I'm getting it all ready, all the clips of the people with Tourette's and the neurological issues and the myocarditis. And I'm just going to ask them if they want to kill my kids.
Yeah.
Are you here to kill my kids? Because if you want to do that, we have a problem.
I mean, I think everybody should just be armed with three really good questions and facts that will just make them just be stammering, stuttering. Okay, we understand, sir. Okay, we understand.
It'll be like Nancy Pelosi when they can't get a sentence out. Anyway, we have to stop now.
Alrighty.
It was a good day. You have been listening to the Dark Delight Podcast with
Hump Day Val and
Bones. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. Until Friday.
Later.